as Nishimananda says, that love is the heart, spontaneous craving to become united with Krishna. Actually, everyone is craving for Krishna or wants to become united with Krishna. Everyone wants to love somebody, isn't it? It's not that when you become devotee, you stop to love. Actually, when you become devotees, we learn to love the real object of love. Sometimes the devotees appear to be very cruel. Devotees dump their wife and children and move into the temple. Devotees leave their parents and friends and everything, and they join the movement. So apparently it seems that these devotees are very cruel. But actually, they are such, because they have learned, they have realized that the real object of love is Krishna, they don't want to waste their time with all these phony objects of love. And this was most wonderfully displayed by the residents of Vrindavan. Like the gopis, as soon as they would hear Krishna's flute, if somebody was breastfeeding a child, she would just drop the child and run for Krishna. Now from material moral consideration, people will say, what is this? This is all immoral. That's why many people in India think that Krishna is actually immoral, and Krishna's devotee's relationship in Vrindavan with Krishna is immoral. But they do not understand that the highest consideration of morality is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. Nobody loves his dog, he becomes glorified. Look how much he loves his dog. But when one tries to develop his love for God, then they are criticized. So this love is that everybody has in his heart. Like every living entity has this this spiritual potency in himself. Everybody wants to love because everybody wants to become united with Krishna. And he is endowed with the ability to become united with Krishna. And that's why he has been endowed with the force of love in him. Now, when that love is projected onto Krishna, then he becomes eligible to go back to Godhead, go back to the spiritual sky, and be situated in his eternal relationship with Krishna. So, this way, the gradually the spiritual emotion or spiritual sentiment intensifies in the form of love for Krishna, and that is the ultimate goal of life, to develop our love for Krishna. Now this energy, actually every energy has a predominating controller of that energy. Like in South Africa there is electricity department, right? Electric energy is controlled by, there is a man on top of the entire electricity department. We may know him or not, doesn't matter, but there is, theoretically we know that there is a person who is taking care of all the electric energy department. Now, who is in charge of the love energy department in the spiritual sky? Very good, Srimati Radharani. And what is this potency called? Ladini Shakti. So this love energy is called Ladini Shakti. And this Ladini Shakti is the energy that enables us to become united with Krishna. If we allow the energy to flow towards Krishna, then automatically we will be drawn towards Krishna. Just as if you allow water to flow, what will water do? It will naturally slide down. Naturally water goes down. So, the progress of water, downwards progress of water is not at all difficult, it is natural. But if you try to push the water upward, then it is difficult. You have to pump the water and make all kinds of arrangements. So similarly, to let the love energy flow towards Krishna is a natural thing. Only thing is that you have to let it go. The hole is filled. The reservoir of water is kind of not letting the water come out, but let there be an outlet, open the outlet. Then what will happen? The water will naturally flow. Similarly, if we allow our love to flow towards Krishna, if we just open the outlet, all we have to do is just open the outlet. And what is the way to open the outlet? The way to open the outlet is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now if we let our heart chant the mantra, with all sincerity, if we chant from the heart, from the depth of the heart, with all feeling, with all sincerity, Krishna, let me be engaged in your service. Let me love you. Please allow me to display my attraction for you. And that is the way of opening that outlet of that energy. And that energy of love, or love initiative, will automatically flow. The devotion to Krishna will become spontaneous, and then gradually it will become a loving devotional service. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, if there is any question, you can ask. Yes, Suren? Take the mic.
Thank you so much. When discussing Raga Nuga Bhakti, you use the word detrimental when speaking about certain types of association that may not be according to one's particular mood.
Not Raga Nuga, I just said about Sadhana Bhakti. Okay. That is the five principal limbs of Sadhana Bhakti. Yeah, anyway.
But specifically, you mentioned a specific mood that Prabhupada Nura would have. So what happens to people that are in contact with ISKCON or in ISKCON that may be in a different mood, in a mood of awe and reverence, for example? This was discussed briefly with Lord Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, and the examples of Hanumanji and Lakshmi Devi were given, where they are in a different mood. But such people, there may be people with that mood involved with ISKCON and not necessarily in keeping with the mood of Srila Prabhupada.
Yes. If they remain in ISKCON associating with other devotees properly, then they will be induced naturally by this ISKCON mood or Prabhupada mood. And they will give up their mood of awe and reverence and develop that mode of distribution of Krishna consciousness. This mode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Srila Prabhupada is the mode of magnanimity. It's a very magnanimous mode. Let the whole world become Krishna conscious. Whereas in awe and reverence it is like this. Oh, no, you are not qualified. Oh, you're born in a Mlechcha family. So anyway, someday maybe you'll be born in a Brahmin family, and then you'll get a chance to worship the deities. So that is the difference. Now, if somebody is in that mood, with a folded hand, trying to serve the Lord, with all sincerity, but the thing is, unless and until one is properly situated, unless one is qualified, one cannot really come to the platform of devotion. Cannot render service to the Lord. So, when he is in ISKCON, associating with other devotees and seeing the superiority or the greatness of this mode of magnanimity of distributing Krishna consciousness, then he will realize, oh, it's even better than that, you know. It's better than worshipping the deity with awe and reverence. It's better to go out and preach and distribute Krishna consciousness. So he will ultimately give up his so-called mood that he has and develop this other mood, or ISKCON's mood. And if not, then he will give up and go away, go to some place where he'll find a mood of awe and reverence, or he will just go away into Maya. James?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Well, I was just wondering if you could please explain on this, on that verse explaining the relationships that a devotee has, that he should aspire to associate with more advanced devotees, but that he should also aspire to associate with devotees who are Swajati of the same mood you're explaining, and also Snigdha, that they have affection. Because you see that even within ISKCON, although everyone's trying to aspire to Prabhupada's mood, that although devotees may be of the same advancement, they prefer to associate with some devotees more intimately than they would with others. So I was wondering, what is the role of one particular nature in that?
You see, just association is not the consideration, but the consideration is association for spiritual advancement. Right? Sometimes there may be association out of a feeling of fraternity. Right? But that may not, if it is not really motivated by the desire of spiritual advancement, it may be detrimental. Like, because that association is not advanced enough, it may drag one down to a lower level of the other person's level. Because association is like a colored light. Association is like colored light through crystal. Crystal actually reflects whatever light is projected onto it. Like when green light is projected through crystal, it comes out as green. The crystal becomes green. Similarly, red light makes the crystal red. So human nature, human mind, or rather human consciousness, is like that. Whoever he associates with, he develops that quality. Now, if we really are concerned about spiritual advancement, then we must associate with those who are more advanced. At least, you know, at some point, for some time, we should try to associate with them. All the time it may not be possible, because the association of senior devotees who are endowed with advanced Vaishnava qualities will enable us also to develop those qualities. Whereas, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly gave an instruction, Ashot Sangha Tag A Vaishnava Achar. One of the activities, one of the must for a Vaishnava is to give up the association of non-devotees. It's a very, very strict injunction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Never associate with non-devotees. Why? Because the crystal of our consciousness may become colored by the association of the non-devotees. And then the question may arise, then why do we go to associate with the non-devotees? No, we don't go to the non-devotees to associate with them. We go to preach to them. That is not association. We are not associating with them. We are not taking anything from them. We are actually giving them Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we must be very careful that when we associate with non-devotees, that we associate with them, or we mingle with them, we deal with them, just for the sake of giving Krishna consciousness, not anything else.
Thank you very much. But I had another question, if I may. In terms of Prabhupada's mood, you know, you're taking it from Krishna, Lord Caitanya, Rupa Goswami, and then down to Prabhupada. We see that Prabhupada was able to attract many followers of many different moods and natures. And we can also see that Prabhupada himself had different moods. Like in the early years, he was very intimately related to his disciples, whereas later there was more of a mood of awe and reverence, and Prabhupada became the father of Acharya. So could we put a blanket statement over that, saying that there is sort of one mood of Prabhupada, or that he has many, many different moods, and how can we reconcile that within a growing ISKCON?
Yeah, okay. So, you know, Prabhupada associated with many different people from other, maybe you can say, sampradayas, etc. But Prabhupada was not affected by them. They became affected by Prabhupada. If they were transparent enough or sincere enough. Okay, then the second point, Prabhupada's association with the earlier devotees was not that it didn't change Prabhupada's mood as such. Prabhupada's mood towards Krishna consciousness is always the same. Is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mood of Sankirtan, the mood of distribution of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada may in the earlier days, of ISKCON, maybe those few fortunate devotees were able to come very close to Srila Prabhupada. But that is not, it's not that Prabhupada's mood was different. But they were fortunate to come to Srila Prabhupada and associate with him in a certain way. Right? And Prabhupada's mood didn't change that after when he became founder Acharya or guru of, worldwide organization, spiritual organization, thousands of disciples. Whoever was close to Srila Prabhupada was the same old Prabhupada. He was cracking jokes, and sometimes he was chastised, sometimes he was cracked down upon you like a thunderbolt. So, you see, the personality of Prabhupada is the same. But from different perspectives, to different individuals, he may appear to have been different. So, the Prabhupada's mood was the same, Gauriya Vaishnava Rupanuga Acharya, who came to establish the mood of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vilas.
Kumar, at the end of the study guide, it says love of Godhead increases and manifests into love, attachment, etc. So, do we understand that one returns to the spiritual sky at the stage of Krishna Prem, or is it these stages beyond? At the bottom of the study guide, it says love of Godhead gradually increases into affection, counter love, love, attachment.
So there are, love is a general statement of praying. It's been translated as love. There are development through Adho Shraddha, Tato Sadhu Sangha, etc. Then ultimately it comes to the point of praying, love. And then the love again becomes more and more intense. And that intensification takes place in the sense of sneha, man, pranay, rag, anurag, bhav and mahabhav. These are the nine specific development. So, this rag means, sneha means affection. The initial stage of that love is in the form of affection for the object of love. Then, it becomes further intensified in the form of loving anger. Like loving quarrel, you can say. So Krishna fights, there is a fight between Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. And sometimes the fight becomes so heavy that Radharani says, I mean, tells Lalita that, tell that black boy not to come to me. And I don't want to see his face. So that is called man. There is a thing called man bhanjan, the waking of that man. So you see, man, this word man doesn't have any English synonym, doesn't have any English word for that. Pranay means when is love, like the loving exchange. Then rag, this is the word rag is the word rag is actually color. The real meaning or one of the meaning of the word rag is color. So it's the color of the heart that is that one experiences towards that object of love. A very specific feeling of love. These are all love, you see, but different degrees of love. Actually, I was on this point, I was asking Brihat whether I should go into that. So Brihat insisted that, no, since they have to hear, let them hear from in the class than anywhere else. The thing is, you see, like, in a way, it is too high for us. But anyway, just to give an understanding, the rag, then anurag also is another form of love. Like you can see rag, then anurag. You can see this similarity. Then bhav and mahabhav. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the different characteristics of different aspects of love has been defined. And ultimately it has been pointed out that mahabhav is available only in Srimati Radharani. Like, it cannot be imitated. And it has been displayed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one of the symptoms of mahabhav is actually fainting and losing all consciousness. Now, these kind of symptoms are not available unless one is one of the Nitya Siddha associates of Krishna from Vrindavan or a Sahajiya. The Sahajiyas, they have it. So that is the meaning. So love gradually increases and manifests in these different different intensified stages. You have to press both the buttons.
Gumaraj, also, so this rag, this is defined here as after praying, but is this the same rag that you're discussing in the second division of sadhana bhakti?
Very good point. Yes. You see, raga nuga means following rag. Following rag. So this rag in Braja is called ragatmika. See, the devotees in Braja, they are loving Krishna out of their spontaneous rag in the heart. Rag atmika. So now when the devotion takes place, when the sadhana bhakti takes place, following this ragatmika bhaktas, then it is called rag anuga. Anuga means following. Yes, following the raga. Yes, Lokamanda Prabhu. Maybe take the microphone, for everyone to hear.
Hare Krishna. Raj, when the first Iskand chapter was signed, we find that the Prabhupada just calling upon the young Americans to come and assist him to found the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And in the growth of Iskand, we see how Srila Prabhupada really cared to ensure that Iskand plays its true role in the world. And from what we've heard about the mood of Srila Prabhupada, I think Srila Prabhupada Goswami very clearly stated the mood of Prahlad, to bring every living entity to Krishna. So I think all of us here, Maharaj, in the college, and those who have come, have a very special duty to ISKCON. And that is to protect it and to serve it very nicely. I thought I should just mention that.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Prepared to sacrifice which is less valuable. Right? Say, for example, when you have a choice, or rather let's put it this way, when you are holding some pebbles in your hand, right, you're carrying some pebbles in your hand, right, then somebody comes to you and says, look, I have some gold for you. Then what do? Do you say, put the gold on top of the pebbles?
No.
If you're attached to the pebbles, you will say, yes, put the gold on top of the pebbles. But if you realize that the pebbles are just useless things, you know, then what do you say? You immediately drop the pebbles and free your hand or hands to collect the gold. Now, when it comes to accepting Krishna consciousness, and it is a matter of, you know, like you have your limitation. You can project your life either or. To either to Krishna or to Maya. Then when you are left with a choice, then if you are intelligent, what will you do? Or if you are really eager to take to Krishna consciousness, what will you do? So the thing is that now the next point I'll make is, in Krishna, because Krishna is the source of everything, in Krishna consciousness there is no rejection. You see, you can include everything in Krishna consciousness. By accepting Krishna, you can automatically accept all the parts and parcels of Krishna. So it is not that in order to become Krishna consciousness, you have to reject your family and friends. Only when the family and friends are on your way to Krishna, then you reject. Otherwise, you feel that, well, my charity begins at home. So if I want to make the whole world Krishna conscious, let me make my home Krishna conscious first. Right? So initially, I mean, it's not that in order to take to Krishna consciousness, you have to reject your family and friends. You can very well accept your family and friends and bring them to Krishna consciousness. But if you can't, then you have to make a choice.
Right. So the interpretation that one should become impersonal or cold is actually a misinterpretation.
Yes. Yeah. Krishna consciousnesses are very juicy and very warm. So there is no room for being cold. Huh? I mean, devotees are so warm-hearted. Huh? So no, it will be a wrong thing to make, wrong statement to make. Or it will be a wrong statement if one says that devotees are cold. But when someone is not Krishna conscious, his heart may shrink. he may think, well, I mean, why am I wasting my time with him? And that person may think, oh, look what happened. He was such a warm-hearted guy, and now ever since he joined the Hare Krishna, look how cold he became. Hare Krishna. Yes, take the mic. Huh?
Hare Krishna. Can I see there's a song for the final?
You want me to sing? Okay. Yeah, I was about to say that. How do you know that we came to an end? Before that, can I tell you something? Just the other day, when I was in Bombay, I saw one of the headlines in the newspaper saying that question paper for higher secondary examinations were out. Now all the question papers have been withdrawn and they have to sit for an e-test.
Do you want to risk it? Oh, I see. So he actually made it even more simple now. He said, out of 12 questions, 6 will come. 6 you have to answer. So now we can sing a song. Which one should we sing? Actually, I was thinking of singing Savakathamritam. Do you all remember? Or will you be able to sing with me? Only the first, this chapter, this stanza, or others as well? Okay. Savakathamritam Tapto Jivana Kobidhiririta Kalma Shapaha singing this song because this is actually the culmination of what you have been doing all this while. Krishna Kathamrita. All these last 4 days, what you have been doing is discuss about Krishna Katha. So this is the culmination, the nectarian words of Krishna extinguishes the forest fire from material existence. Indeed, Krishna Katha is spoken by the really wise people, Kobidhiriritam. And this purifies us from all our contaminations. And just by hearing this Krishna Katha, we receive all auspiciousness. And it brings us the greatest wealth. And those who distribute this Krishna Katha, Krishna consciousness, they are the most munificent personalities. Srila Prabhupada ki Tabo katham rita Tapto jivana Kobidhiri rita Kalma shapaha Tabo katham rita Tapto jivana Kobidhiririta Kalma shapaha Savana Mangala Shri Madatata Bhubi Grinnanti Jibhuri Dajana
Pavana Mangala Srimadatata Bhuvi Grinnanti Jibhuri Dajana Tabo katham rita tapta jivana kobi bhirita kalma shapaha Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Tapta jivana
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada.